To the rest of us, good morning. And to you on Facebook Live, we welcome you also this morning. We maybe didn't mention to you on Facebook Live, but we are going to have communion this morning. So if you would like to prepare that while we're going through some things, we would love to have you join us with our communion celebration at the later part of our service. Last week, we talked about the words from Jesus in Matthew 24 when he said, birth pains, there would be signs at the end of the age. And so I'm going to refer to Matthew 24 again just for a verse or two. If you have your Bibles, that's where we're going to start. Matthew 24, emphasizing the 11th verse, the last two that we looked at last week. You know the setting, I think. Matthew 24, Jesus has walked by the temple. He makes a statement about the temple coming down. They get to the Mount of Olives. While they're sitting there, the disciples ask him, tell us what will be the signs. And so that's the setting. They've asked him to share with them what will it look like at the end. And he mentions in verse 4, watch out that no one deceives you. We're going to talk about false teachings and false prophets today. He said, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name. And he talks about wars and rumors of wars. He talks about famines and earthquakes and various things. He said then in verse 8, we saw this last week, all these are the beginnings of birth pains. And then in 9 and 10 and 11, he said, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away. We talked about that last week, that phenomenon of turning away, the rebellion, Paul called it. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And lastly, he said this, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. When you go back to the beginning of the teachings of Jesus, you go back to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7:15, Jesus said the same thing there. He said, there will be many false prophets. And he said, beware of those false prophets. And he said to them, and let me say this too, when we think about false prophets, a false prophet may not be recognizable by their appearance. A false prophet will look like a sheep. A false prophet will have a word that is somewhat lined up with Scripture, and then there will be words that don't line up with it at all. And when you start to research and really look around at what's happening today, that's happening all over. There might be an appearance of sheepish, like a sheep, but when you listen closely to the message, Jesus said some of those sheep will be like ravenous wolves. And so I want to talk a little bit about that before we have communion today. When Jesus said, and many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. And so my caution for us, I'll start with this and end with this, we must be aware of what's the gospel truth. And if we're not on the Word of God, friends, we're not going to know what the truth is. So I'm imploring us, we've got to be in the Word of God. Now, I wanted to start today with just a little broader explanation from a couple of quotes I read to you from last week in that article we had on the big screen. You will probably remember the title. It said this, over one-third of senior pastors believe good people can earn their way to heaven. I mentioned that, and I mentioned two things within that article. Number one, I mentioned this, and I quote, at least a third of those pastors surveyed also said that they believe socialism is preferable to capitalism, end quote. The second thing I said from that article, or second of many things, I wanted to reiterate today, the latest Cultural Research Center report found that a loss of biblical belief is prevalent among pastors in all denominational groupings. I mentioned both those two things last week. If you're like me, you would probably be asking, how in the world does that happen? Are you asking that, friends? I'm asking that. How in the world does one-third of American pastors surveyed prefer socialism to the freedoms of capitalism and the freedoms that we have enjoyed in America all these years? How does that happen? And I ask myself when I see these statistics, how is it that there is a loss of biblical belief among pastors in all denominational groupings? How does that happen? Jesus said it would happen, by the way. I'm not going to turn this into an infomercial, but I'm going to tell you just a couple things briefly here. As I have researched and gleaned over several months of trying to understand this phenomenon of the falling away, of this phenomenon of one-third of senior pastors in the beliefs that they have now, contrary to Scripture, I might add. How does that happen? There's a lot of resources out there, and I'm just going to name a couple, three that are very, very good resources. The American Gospel is a CD that shows you how the prosperity gospel has affected so many in America. The American Gospel, it's called. It's great information. It will enlighten you. If you've never seen it, I would encourage you to get it. The American Gospel. Another resource that I've given to some of you, and I have more of them for those that might want to see it, it's another DVD series called Agenda. This documentary is put out by a former Idaho congressman and Christian as to the infiltration of communism in this country. It didn't start last week and it didn't start last month. This has been happening for 100 years. But communism has infiltrated our seminaries. This documentary spells it all out if you care to watch it and care to listen. So we wonder, how is it that pastors, a third of those surveyed, prefer socialism to what we have enjoyed for 246 years called capitalism? How does that happen? Because communism has infiltrated the seminaries of America. And that flows into the church. Agenda. If you want a copy of it, I got one for you. Why is it that our youngest generations now prefer socialism to capitalism? Because that's what they're being taught in the colleges. Let me just say this. You say, Jim, why do you get so upset about socialism or Marxism or capitalism? When you really start to drill down, correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, or any of the rest of you that have researched this, when you start to research socialism, Marxism, and communism, it equals atheism. That's what it equals. That's why I get uptight about one-third of pastors preferring communism over capitalism. Communism equals atheism. That's a good resource if you want to watch it. I've got some copies. Another set of DVDs I've got for you if you'd like to see. It's called Enemies Within the Church. It's a brand new DVD. It's a documentary regarding the postmodern, progressive, and woke church. It's a very dangerous thing. But Jesus said, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. This is how it's happening. And if we are not aware of these things, we just start to see ourselves drifting along and subscribing to some of these teachings that even is coming from the pulpit. And so we need to be aware of these things. Enemies Within the Church, another DVD documentary that I can provide to you if you would like, where the emphasis is now, and again, based on socialism, we use this word woke a lot, but it's a moving from the gospel of Jesus Christ into a social gospel. And so it's this subtle changes. But these things are happening in the American church today. There's so many more good resources. I'm reading a book right now by Eric Metaxas called Letters to the American Church. If you happen to get a chance to get that book, friends, Letters to the American Church. It's a brand new book, just came out in 2022. And Metaxas is calling the church to wake up, because he studied 1930 Germany. He studied the church there in Germany that was silent in the face of the horrors of Nazism, except for people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he's drawing the parallel about how the American church is exactly the same today as the German church was in 1930s, silent on these issues and thinking, well, all is well, that doesn't affect me, while we're being swept away just exactly like the church in Germany in 1930s. Letter to the American Church. These are good resources, and I just want to throw that out there, because there's a lot of information beside the Word, which you should be reading. There's a lot of information that points to false teachers deceiving many. Jesus said it would happen. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, who cares? I'm not reading some old book. I'm not watching another DVD. It's not my problem that American pastors are going astray. We may feel that way, and all I can suggest is, after reading Metaxas' book, part of the reason, friends, that Nazi Germany happened is because the church was asleep. Are you hearing me this morning? That's part of the reason it happened the way it happened, because the church was asleep at the wheel, yawning. I'm fine. That's someone else's problem. Now let me read to you what I saw this week in another article as I continue to research this subject. I saw an article from Ray Comfort. Another tragic, you read these things and you wonder, how can that even be real? Here's the title of this article: Why Our Churches Are Full of Unconverted Preachers. Does that not grab your attention? If I'm standing before people unconverted to Christ, how can I lead people to Christ? This article spelled that out. Jesus said many false prophets will appear, and they will deceive many. In the article, and I quote, "Modern preachers have failed to teach and preach the fear of the Lord," says Comfort. "And that has resulted in a church that has no fear of God. It has further resulted in a lack of moral influence upon the nation," 1930s Germany. "We have lost our saltiness. Jesus said in Matthew 5:13 that salt that has lost its saltiness is good for nothing but to be trampled underfoot by man." According to Comfort in this article, that is the state of the modern church in America. It has become irrelevant, while the world sinks further into moral depravity. His quote continues, "All this has happened because thousands of unsaved have entered the pulpits." Thousands of unsaved, he says, have entered the pulpits. We no longer just suspect this. We now know this is true. And then it refers to the article that I referred to last week when he said, "Dr. George Barna recently released research revealing at least one-third of senior pastors in the United States of America believe we can earn a place in heaven by being a good person." Other pastors, his quote says, said that moral truth is subjective. In other words, truth is what you make it. Pastors are saying truth is what you make it. Jesus said, "I am the truth." And his quote continues, Some pastors find fornication is morally acceptable. Biblical teaching on the slaughter of babies in the womb is ambiguous. And he concludes this article with this: these findings reveal these pastors are not regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Their convictions fly in the face of the words of Jesus himself when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me." Therefore, they believe in a different Jesus and preach another gospel, end quote. Jesus said, many false prophets will appear and they will deceive many. Do you recall, friends, I think we have the scripture, Kristen. In Paul's teaching in the second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 11, he's challenging them on their walk with Jesus. And he's saying, and Jesus said it too, it's only a matter of time and wolves will show up in your congregations, in your gatherings that look like sheep. It's only a matter of time. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, and when that happens, even if they come preaching to you another Jesus, don't fall for that. Another Jesus that we have talked to you about, the one who died and rose again, they will come, Paul said. These false teachers, they won't look like wolves, but they will be wolves. And if they come preaching to you another Jesus, he said, I'm afraid, this is what he said, you can read it, 2 Corinthians 11, I'm afraid some of you will fall for that. And then he gets to this part, 2 Corinthians 11. Do we have this one, Kristen? I think we have this one. He says this about that. For such are false apostles. Those that come to you preaching another Jesus, in other words, this transformed Jesus, different from the gospel, different from the Bible, this laid-back Jesus, this good old boy, they come to you with another Jesus. He said, those are false apostles. They're deceitful workers. They're transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder they can do that, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, that's Satan's, are also transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness whose end will be according to their works. Paul talked about it. Jesus talked about it. The New Testament talks about it. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Do I have all the answers? Of course not. But I read the Word every day, and I'm encouraging you and I'm challenging you to do the same thing. Read the Word of God, friends, every day. If you do not, the false teachers of the day will persuade you into something else. After reading and researching and watching countless hours, reading countless days on the topic, I've concluded a couple of things over these last many months of reading and researching this. The prosperity gospel, the social justice gospel, the progressive and woke church influenced by communism, these are all leading people to hell. You say, Jim, that's a little harsh. Research what they're saying. We in the pulpits bear responsibility for the rebellion that Paul talks about. We in the pulpit bear responsibility for the falling away. We must in the pulpits bear responsibility for the truth of the scriptures. And if we don't know the truth of the scriptures ourselves, how can we tell anybody you must be born again? And so as we get ready to have our communion, I want to ask you, are you taking time to read the Word of God? You don't have to read no books that I suggest. You don't have to watch no DVD series. I'm just saying, if you want to be enlightened, I've got some resources for you. But I am saying you need to read the Word of God. We've got a whole bunch of Bible studies going on around here. Matt mentioned a couple brand new ones. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Thursday night. I mean, we got lots of them. We should all be in a small group Bible study, learning together, growing together, understanding the Word, ruminating on the Word, praying about the Word, encouraging each other. We all should be. Jesus said the time will come then false preachers will lead many astray, and it's happening in America right now. That's why I told you about the great falling away last week. It's happening in America right now. It's happening in Western Europe. It's happening. So let me give you a couple of points and I'm going to close. Knowing what Jesus said in these last days, and I'm not predicting the Lord is coming today, but he might. He might not come for 500 years, because the Bible says with the Lord, 1,000 days is 1,000 years is like a day, and a day like 1,000 years. He's outside of time, but it looks like, according to Scripture, the time is close. His appearing could be at any moment. And so my first point is, my first challenge is, well, I've already challenged you, please read the Word of God. If you don't have one, we got a Bible for you. And then the second point, the second challenge I have for you is, what you are listening to or reading biblically sound? Does it line up with Scripture? Because if it doesn't, you should run from that. And then, as I said for a point last week, now is not the time for rebellion against God, His Word, or a falling away. Now is not the time for that. I'm going to read two verses before I go to communion, and you will be reminded of where they come from as soon as I read the second one. The first one you may not be, but I'm going to read two verses. Here's what God said: when I shut up heaven and there's no rain, in other words, when I draw attention to you, when I shut up heaven and there's no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, when I do that, God says, I'm trying to get your attention. I see these hurricanes where millions are affected. People have died. Homes are destroyed. People that have been in this church, homes are destroyed. We see all these natural, we call them natural disasters. And I wonder, because I see these words that God said, when I shut up heaven and there's no rain, or when I command the locusts to devour the land, or when I send pestilence among my people, in other words, he says, I will give you opportunity to wake up and come back to me. You may not recognize that verse, but you'll recognize this one. When I do that, he said. Then he said this: if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then he said, I will hear from heaven. When my people do that, seek his face in humility and turn from our wicked ways and repent of that, he said, only then will I hear from heaven, will I forgive your sins, and I will heal your land. I suggest, friends, we storm the gates of heaven with humility in prayer and ask God to forgive us and heal this land. Thank you again, Father, for your willingness to love us in our worst, to send your Son to die and atone for our sin, and as we just sang, to wash our sins away. Thank you so much for your willingness to do that. Thank you for your long suffering and your love. Thank you, Father, for your great mercies and grace. Father, I just pray again, knowing that Jesus said and what Apostle Paul said and others said in the New Testament, I pray that we would be aware of the signs, that we would be aware of anything that is not of you, any false teaching that takes away from the centrality of Christ and Him crucified and rose again. I pray that you would help us to be aware of that. I pray for revival in America. Revive our hearts, O Lord. Help us to be a people passionate for Jesus, longing to learn from your scriptures, led by your Spirit, helping others in our communities to know about Jesus. Go with us this day, this first week of October. Use us for your glory. I pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.